Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Global Leadership Show with Pastor A.D. Finkley. It is our desire to empower your leadership and strengthen your ability to lead. For more information concerning any of these broadcasts, please contact AFM Ministries located at 13086 Old U.S. Highway 52 in the great city of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Our zip code is 27107. Our telephone number is 336-251-3603. Without further delay, let's talk leadership with Pastor Finkley.
God bless you, friends. This is Pastor A.D. Finkley. I'm so delighted that you have tuned into the Global Leadership Show. Listen, a show that is designed to empower leaders and strengthen their ability to lead. Listen, I pray that your Saturday has been one of bliss and one of joy, one that is spent in the presence of the Lord, and God is truly blessing you. But listen, my friends, we are back again to continue in our discussion that we started last week concerning being prepared to lead. And one of the things that we discussed last week that I believe bears the need of being repeated when it comes to leadership and preparation in leadership is the very fact that when you are prepared, you do things better. In other words, what I mean is that, my friend, when you are prepared to do something, you do it with greater zeal, you'll do it with greater courage, you'll do it with a greater sense of excellence about what you're doing. And when it comes to your leadership, I want you to understand that God desires to prepare you because he wants you to be confident in your ability to lead. And he wants you to lead, praise God, with fervor and vigor. And so, my friend, we talked about this last week, and I believe that it was needed to do a part two before we began to move on from the principle of preparation. Listen, I believe that the greatest thing that you can do for your leadership, and I do believe that God is raising up men and raising up women to be end-time leaders. And if you feel within your heart, I know that all of us are leaders, but if you feel in your heart that God is going to call you to the forefront of leadership, if he's calling you to be on the cutting edge of leadership, then one of the greatest things that you could ever do to prepare yourself to lead in the area that he has called you is to get prepared. Let me tell you something, nothing beats preparation. I gave the analogy last week of the ACC tournament in North Carolina, the Tar Heels, that is, made it to the last of the big dance. Even though they didn't win, they made it to the big dance. But I gave the analogy last week, and I said that, listen, if North Carolina had not prepared, they didn't do exercise, if they didn't exercise, if they didn't go over plays, if they didn't sharpen their skills, that there was absolutely no way they could have played basketball on the level that was being played in the tournament, and therefore it would ultimately ended up in the fact that they would not have even made it to the big dance. But because of preparation, my friend, because they made themselves ready, because they went over plays, because they put time in practice, so when it came time to perform, they were able to perform at peak level. And what I want you to understand is that when it comes to your leadership, whether it's running a business, whether it's starting a web-based business, or whether it's pastoring, deacon, usher, whatever regards, parent, whatever regards you find yourself in concerning leadership, one of the greatest things that you could ever do is prepare yourself. And that's exactly what God desires to do. He prepares leaders. But you have to let him prepare you. And so last week, we began to look at two peers concerning the preparation process that we can draw from the Word of God. And I believe with all of my heart that if we would follow these two tiers or these two patterns that we find in the Word of God, that we surely would be prepared for the leadership that God's called us to. Listen, my friend, God wants to work a great work, but he wants you ready before he turns you loose. And so the first tier that we dealt with last week, we won't get into too much detail because we want to use the time that we have together today to deal with the second tier of preparation when it comes to leadership. And so last week we talked about the fact that God prepares leaders himself. And we looked at the Word of God and we drawed on a few men, there are many others, but we drawed on a few men to look at their lives and see how God used their entire life, used the hardships and used the difficulties to prepare them for the leadership that he had called them to. And we looked at the life of Joseph and we talked about the fact, praise God, that Joseph had a dream, and even though he had a dream, that dream turned into a tragedy. And if you were just standing off, looking from a distance, it would look as if that God-given dream that God gave Joseph, that Joseph somehow or another missed God in the interpretation when his brothers envied him and when he was sold into slavery and thrown into a pit and all of these other things that befell his life. It would look as if God did not give him this vision, or Joseph missed God. But nonetheless, we find when we get to Genesis chapter 50 that no. It wasn't the fact that Joseph missed God. It wasn't the fact that it wasn't a God-given dream. But what was really going on was that God had entered Joseph into his boot camp of leadership. Because when we get over to Genesis chapter 50, the thing that Joseph said to his brothers, he says that you meant this thing for evil. The things that you've done, and because of what you've done and all that has befell my life, listen, you thought that thing was for evil, but God meant it for good, that he might save much people. And so God used everything in his life. And so it's the same way with you, my friend. When you have difficulties and struggles and hardships in your life, that's not the time for you to fall to pieces, but it's the time for you to remember that God is going to use this for my good. You know, we love to quote that out of Romans chapter 8, where we said that all things work together for the good of them that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. And sometimes we like to just use that and say that, but not really grab a hold to the thrust and the meaning of what's really being said there. Because the fact of the matter is that if God is going to make this thing work out, or he's going to work it for my good, listen, that's not a time when things happen to us for us to get upset. That's a time for really for us to rejoice, because we know that God has purpose behind it. And so we looked at the life of Joseph. We looked at the life of Moses, how Moses was in boot camp for over 80 years just to lead the people forward. And so we looked at the life of David, how God used staying in the caves and being on the run for Saul, from Saul, and all of these things which befell the life of King David, and how God used these things to prepare him to be a godly king. And so the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. It's because God had sent him through his boot camp of leadership. And we know by looking at the scriptures, praise God, that there's no other king mentioned in scripture like David. And as a matter of fact, if you ever get an opportunity to study the book of Kings, you will find that David was the standard for all other kings. And so, but God used his life. And so God will prepare his leaders. He'll get you ready if you allow him. He'll send you through some things that, listen, otherwise you can't learn this kind of stuff in a classroom. Nobody can sit down and put it inside of a textbook. There's some things that God has got to send you through in order to fine-tune and sharpen your skills and your ability as a leader. And so when you find yourself in these different situations and these different types of circumstances, listen, my friend, God is getting you ready for the greater call. He's got to let somebody lie on you. He's got to let somebody reject you. He's got to let your feelings get hurt because he's got to teach you how, praise God, to have a soft heart and tough skin. Come on, my friend. You can't learn that in the classroom. It doesn't matter how many times somebody sits down and tells you that, but it's not until you go through it yourself that you're going to learn the lesson that needs to be taught. And so God will prepare you. And so because you are being called into the forefront of leadership, because you are being called to be at the apex of leadership, because you are this generation that seeks him. Come on, David talked about this thing. He says, listen, we are that generation that seek thy face, O Salah, O Jacob Salah. Come on, because you're called into the forefront of leadership, God has got to send you through the boot camp. He's got to send you through that training. And so we dealt with that last week, but this week I want to take our remaining time, and I wanted to deal with the fact, the second tier, when it comes to being prepared to lead. That second tier of preparation is mentorship. You know, let me explain something to you. If you are going, listen to me real good now. If you are going to be in the forefront of leadership, you need a mentor. That's right, I said it. You need a mentor. You know, too often, you know, we have this thing about us where we don't like mentors. You know, there's been this stigma about having a mentor in your life. But let me tell you something. If your leadership is going to excel, if your leadership is going to be next level, you need a mentor in your life. In other words, you need somebody in your life who can speak into your life, who's already been where you're going, listen, or knows how to get you where you're trying to be. You know, I often use this analogy when I'm teaching concerning mentorship. I always use this analogy. I use the analogy of the coach. You know, when you go out and you look at a coach, I hate to use North Carolina again, but I will. You know, Roy Smith is the coach over there at North Carolina, the Tar Heels. And, you know, they always have such a good team, even though they don't always win the NCAA. That's fine and dandy. But they always have a good team, have a wonderful program over there. And I look at the coach and I look at the players. Now, the thing about it is the players are the ones that have the talent. I mean, they know how to dunk and they know how to shoot three-pointers and they know how to pass the ball and run the plays and all of these different types of things. Listen, they know how to run the plays, but the coach, Roy, knows what plays need to be ran in order to bring them to victory. And let me tell you something, my friend. If you're going to have victory in your life, listen, your coach, your mentor may not be able to do what you do. Come on. He may not even have what you have. Oh, y'all ain't saying that. I know oftentimes when we think about mentors, we think about our mentor has got to have more than us and be doing more than us. And that's not necessarily the truth. Because, listen, on a successful team, let me tell you something, that's winning Super Bowls, on a successful team that's winning NCAA championships, on a successful team who are winning the Grand Slam in baseball and all these different types of things, let me tell you something. The coach cannot do what the players do, but the coach knows what the players need to do in order for them to win the victory. And so then it comes to you being prepared to lead. My friend, do not try to lead without having a mentor in your life. You need somebody who can give you instructions. You need somebody who can give you guidance to help get you where you're trying to be. Oh, my God. You know, we find in the Word of God that God always uses mentors in the lives of those who he has called to the forefront. And so if you're going to be a next level leader, hear me good, my friend, if you're going to be a next level leader, listen, you need a mentor in your life. And let me tell you something, when I'm talking about mentor, I'm not talking about a yes buddy. You know, sometimes we like to get yes buddies and we call them mentors. Listen, your mentor's not going to go along with everything. Your mentor, if you got a real good godly mentor, a good solid mentor and not a yes man, your mentor is not going to go with everything. Your mentor will possess the ability to be able to rebuke you. Your mentor will possess the ability to not only rebuke you but also encourage you. Your mentor will possess the ability to reprove you. But if you're going to rise to the crust of leadership, you need somebody speaking into your life to help you get where you're trying to be. You need a mentor in your life. In other words, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm saying you need to be somebody's mentee. You need to be up under somebody's authority. You need to arrange yourself up under somebody who can help propel you where it is that God is trying to take you, my friend. So often we find these men and we find these women who want to step into the arena of leadership but don't have a mentor who has don't have a mentor in their life who has the ability to help them get where it is that God wants them to be. But God doesn't want that for your life. Let me tell you something. If you are a part of a ministry, and I hope you are, I hope you're saved, sanctified, and full of the Lord's Spirit and a part of a ministry. If you are a part of a ministry, your first mentor should be your senior pastor. That's right. That's right. Your first mentor should be your senior pastor. Because the fact of the matter is there's some things that you will learn from your senior leader that you will never learn from any other classroom, that you will never learn out of any textbook. And let me tell you something, you can buy all the textbooks you want, but they'll never be able to teach you how to handle people. Your pastor can do that. Let me tell you something, you can sit in all of the classrooms and take all of the college classes you want, and I have absolutely no problem with Bible college, secular college, or whatever kind of college you want to go to. I have absolutely no problem with that. But let me tell you something, there are some things that you need to learn about people that you can only find out about from your senior leader. Your pastor has been given a grace by God to invest into you and to pour into you to help develop you to what and to whom God has called you to be. And so when it comes down to having a mentor, it's not always about looking outside of the house or outside of the window in order to find a mentor. Listen, your senior leader needs to be your mentor. You need to be watching that man or that woman's life and seeing how they deal with people and how they handle situations and how they handle difficulties and hardship. There's a wealth of knowledge that God has placed right in front of you if you wouldn't allow yourself to become a mentee. And so I believe that, listen, especially if you're in a side of a ministry, and you should be, the first mentor you should have is your senior leader. Listen, there's some things that you can draw from the man or the woman of God that, listen, are irreplaceable. There's some things that you can draw from the man and the woman of God that you cannot find anywhere else. But listen, at the mentorship of your senior leader. And so, my friend, the thing about it is this, that we have to understand that, listen, if we're going to be prepared to lead, number one, God does the preparation process, and he does the preparation process through the issues and through the tragedies and through the situations of life. And outside of that, God preparing us to lead, the second thing that when it comes to being prepared to lead that we've got to have inside of our lives is we need a mentor. We need somebody speaking into our lives. We've got to be somebody's mentee. Because just as I said a minute ago, my friend, let me tell you something. I know, praise God, that North Carolina, listen, they play and they play well and they run plays and they shoot three-pointers and they dunk the ball and pass it and all of these things. And these players do an excellent job. But I'm going to tell you something. The coach may not be able to get down on the court and dunk the ball and pass it and all these other things. But I'm going to tell you what the coach can do. The coach can instruct them on what they need to do in order to be a successful basketball team. And when it comes to you being in the area of leadership, listen, though your mentor may not have what you have, he may and she may not be as charismatic as you, she or he may not be as educated as you, but that has nothing to do with their ability, come on, to speak into your life to help you get to where it is that God has ordained you to be. I'm talking about being prepared to lead. Now, I know as I talk about this, some of you said, well, where can we find that in the Bible? Well, I'm glad you asked me because I want to give you a few examples of this mentor and this mentee that we find in the Word of God. You know, when we look at the Word of God, we find that God, those whom God has called to the forefront of ministry, those whom God has called to the forefront of leadership, had a mentor. In other words, they had somebody speaking into their life. You know, the first example I want to throw out there, I want to talk about Joshua. You know, Joshua was a tremendous leader. If you go back and you look at the book of Joshua, and you'll find that in the book of Joshua, that it was Joshua that actually led the people of God into the place of promise. It was Joshua that God used to lead the people into the promised land, that land which God had promised them. And it was Joshua that did this. But you know what the fact of the matter is that Joshua was the one that did this, but Joshua was a mentee. You know, Moses was Joshua's mentor. Excuse me. Joshua's mentor was Moses. And let me explain something to you. You know, when it came time for Joshua to lead the people of God into the promised land, he was able to do it with confidence. You know, I'm thinking about how Joshua, I keep getting these Josephs and Joshuas mixed up, but pray with me, saints. Listen, I keep thinking in my mind that Joshua had to be thinking about the times that he saw Moses pray and how the hand of God would be stayed. I'm thinking about the times that Joshua saw Moses smite the rock and water would come out of it. I'm thinking about how Joseph... Joshua. I'm thinking about the times that Joshua saw Moses come out of the tabernacle and the glory of the Lord was all upon him. See, in all of those times that Joshua was watching Moses, Moses was mentoring this young man. God had already had it in his mind that, listen, when it came time for the people of God to go into the place of promise, that Joshua would be their leader. And since Joshua was going to be their leader in the mind of God, God had placed Moses in the life of Joshua to train and groom him so that when it came time for him to step on the scene, all he had to do was walk into the role of leadership and lead with power and lead with courage. And so when we look at Joshua chapter 1, God tells him, listen, the way that I was with Moses is the same way I'm going to be with you. In other words, the way that Moses called upon me and I showed up, the way that Moses called upon me and water came out of rocks, the way that Moses called upon me and I spared the people, the way that Moses called upon me and I gave him instructions and insight. Listen, I'm going to be with you the same way. But let me tell you something. If Joshua did not have that mentor, Moses, in his life, then his faith and his ability to believe what God had said, listen, I'm telling you, it wouldn't have been as strong as it was. But because he had a mentor in his life, he was able to lead when it came time for his leadership. Let me give you another example. We kind of press for time. Let's think about Eli. You know, many people talk about Eli, and they talk about how backslidden Eli was and how Eli let his sons do whatever they wanted to do. You know, to a certain extent, that's true. But let me tell you something. There's another part of Eli that many of us don't talk about. And I'm going to tell you about that part of Eli. Eli was Samuel's minister. He was Samuel's mentor. That's what he was. He was his mentor. And let me tell you something. Samuel, being a child, growing up, around Eli, because Hannah, his mother, had given him back to the Lord. And so as Eli began to raise Samuel, and Samuel began to be raised around the things of God and the word of God and all these different types of things, it was Eli that mentored him. You know, sometimes we look at the fact of Samuel, and we see that Samuel was a great prophet, and we see that God used Samuel to a great degree, and Samuel anointed King David and all of these different types. Samuel anointed Saul as king. And these were tremendous privileges given to Samuel by God. But before Samuel ever got to the place where he could have that commitment to God, that he could hear from God so clearly, he had a mentor in his life called Eli. Eli taught Samuel how to hear the voice of God. Oh, I wish I had time to teach it. We just don't have enough time on the show. It was Eli that taught Samuel how to hear the voice of God. In other words, let me tell you something. If Eli was not in the life of Samuel, he would not have been able to hear God clearly. And so you need a mentor in your life to help you hear from the voice of God. And this is why I said just a minute ago that, listen, the first mentor in your life, listen, that should be in your life should be your senior leader, because your senior leader is going to teach you how to walk with God. Your senior leader is going to teach you how to hear from God, so that when it comes to your time to step on the scene and step in the forefront of leadership, regardless of where it's at, let me tell you something, you can hear from God and you can move with confidence because you have been trained how to hear the voice of God. And so Samuel, as great a prophet as he was, let me tell you something, he had a mentor. And the same way that Samuel had a mentor, my friend, you need a mentor also. Listen, God has never called you to live this thing out on your own. You need somebody speaking into your life. And I'm telling you what you need a mentor. Let me give you one last example. The last example I'm going to give you is Paul and Timothy. You know, we have two epistles written by the Apostle Paul addressed to this young man, Timothy. And you know what? Let me tell you something. Paul was Timothy's mentor. In other words, Paul had took Timothy up under his wings, and he had spent a great amount of time poured into the life of this young man. Pouring into him, preparing him, getting him ready, getting him prepared to carry out the work after he left off the scene. And let me tell you something, my friend. When you read 1 Timothy and you read 2 Timothy and you hear Paul saying, listen, Timothy, I want you, don't neglect the gift that is within you. Listen, I will put you in remembrance of the gift that was in you by the laying on my hands and the presbytery. In other words, listen, I want to remind you, son, how I mentored you and how I prepared you and how we got you ready and how we poured into your life. And so he said to Timothy in both of those epistles that, listen, I want you to rise and I want you to lead like I know you can, because we have poured into you. I've mentored you. Let me tell you something. Paul said this about Timothy. He told the Ephesian church that, listen, I have nobody else to send down there that is going to care for you like Timothy. Oh, man, what a glorious report. What a glorious testimony to be said about someone. He says, listen, I've watched this young man. In essence, this is what he said. I watched this young man. I poured into this young man. I know the heart of this young man. It's something to have the Apostle Paul sign off on your ministry. Oh, y'all, let me tell you something. When you have your mentor who is a father in the gospel sign off on your ministry, let me tell you something. Listen, if you got a real father in the gospel, they don't sign off on no foolishness. They sign off on something they know that's real. Let me tell you something. Paul was Timothy's mentor. And let me tell you something. Listen, my friend, Timothy was able to get himself together and lead with courage. He was able to lead. Listen, he was able to lead with vigor because, listen, he was prepared. His mentor got him ready. And so what I want you to understand, this we're coming in now. I want you to understand that, listen, if you're going to be prepared to lead, it's not going to have any. Listen, education is good. I have nothing wrong with that. If you can get some education, go get it. But I'm going to tell you what's going to really help you get you prepared. If you're really going to be prepared to lead, let me tell you, the first thing you need to do, you need to let God prepare you. Let God send you through there. Let God work on you. Let God get you ready. Let God mold you through the situations and circumstances of life. And number two, seek you out a godly, listen to me clearly, a godly mentor, someone who stands for what's right, someone who believes in Christ, someone who is willing to give their all for the cause of Christ. Find you a godly mentor. Listen, they may not be able to do what you can do. They may not have what you have, but they can surely help direct you and help you get where you're trying to be. Listen, my friends, I am so excited about Global Leadership, the Global Leadership Show. As we prepare leaders for the greater call that God has on their life. Listen, my friend, I love you and I want the best for you. May God continue to bless you and your endeavors to lead until we have an opportunity to meet again. May the rich blessings of God be upon your life.